thank you for our children, that you have blessed us with them and given us, God, the responsibility to train them up in the righteousness of God. God, that you might work within our young children, God, that they hold fast to that which they've been taught, that they be encouraged by those who have gone before them, that they stand firm when days are dark, and God, make them shine like the stars of this universe because of their obedience to you. God, I thank you for the workers who work so faithfully in the back, taking quite seriously, God, your word, and that we should impart your word, that we should take your word and hide it into our heart, God. So bless them today. God, as we celebrate the declaration that Jesus is King today, may we be encouraged, may we be motivated, may we say his kingdom come. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today we'd like to speak from the Word of God with a sermon entitled, Follow the Signs. If you're looking for a sign, this is it. And in our text in John chapter 12, we find that the whole nation went out to see Jesus because of the signs that he displayed. And so this morning, I would like you to be encouraged by all of these things as we consider Palm Sunday and what it means to us. You know, why do Palm Sunday? We don't find any passage of Scripture that says that we're to celebrate in any particular fashion. It doesn't tell us to send our kids down the aisle waving palm branches. But, you know, interestingly enough, in church history, around 380 A.D., there was a woman named Ergama who recorded basically a processional just like you saw today. They went to the Mount of Olives. They recited the six Hallel songs. They walked on their way to Jerusalem, and they celebrated when they were at the top. And so we do these things that are celebratory in terms of the things that God has done. You know, by the 4th and 5th centuries, these things were common. And again, not prescribed in Scripture, but it's something the early church did to try to learn and teach our children the things of God. I know right now they're working on a craft, and they're building things in the other end, all of them pointing them to the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so today, we're following a long tradition in regard to those things. I hope our reenactment was adorable for you today. Number one, I want to look at the sign of the palm branches. We're going to look at the palm branches, the donkey, and finally the resurrection of Lazarus this morning. The sign of the palm branches. In John 12:12, it says, the next day the large crowd had come to the feast, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. This was a grand declaration of what the people, the large majority of the people in Israel believed, that they believed a king was coming. The king was going to liberate them. The king was going to get to them to overthrow Rome. The king was going to come to rule from the world's end to end because of the prophecies of the Word of God. But I think if we look at this more clearly, we will see the signs all lead to Jesus. Number one, I want us to consider that the Psalms were a sign of celebration. Psalms of celebration. The text says the next day. What? The next day. They had just had a feast the night before. The next day, they're heading towards Jerusalem. It happens to be on Nisan the 10th, which is the day that the Lamb of God was to be selected among the people, that every household would select a lamb on the 10th and keep it in their house until the 14th. Imagine that, a little lamb, going to bring it into the household, and you are going to pet it for a week, and then you're going to kill it for the Passover feast. This was a visual in regard to the things of God and the way that sins are atoned for. And so the next day, they begin to start their journey to Israel, up to Jerusalem. And Jesus, on that day, was declaring that he was the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. You know, when we consider the palm branches themselves, there are passages of Scripture that refer to them, but we need to understand that the palm branches were already historically signs of independence and signs of their religion and signs of their culture. You recall that they were to be take palm branches and build booths on the Festival of Tabernacles in the fall as they celebrated the fall season and the reaping of the large harvest. And so the using of palm branches was something that they were already accustomed to. It was cultural. We find during the Second Temple period that palm branches were on their coins. It was a symbol of the nation of Israel. And so it was something that they took out And that symbol was Jesus is coming and Jesus is the king. He is here and we will wave our palm branches in symbolic allegiance to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was the king to come. You know, we know that this is what they wanted. They wanted Jesus to come. They wanted Jesus to reign. They wanted Jesus to liberate them. But Mark 10, verse 33, Jesus had already said to them, I go up to Jerusalem to be killed, flogged, and put to death for the sins of the world. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, but he wanted them to celebrate, and so he participates in this. The second thing, the Psalms were a sign of blessing, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessing. You know, the word Hosanna literally is a translation of the term Hosanna in the Hebrew language. And so in English, in Psalm 118, verse 25, it says, save us, we pray. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. To bless somebody was to speak well of someone, to be cognitive of who they were and to praise them. And so throughout the procession, there was many praises that were given. But this is the one that they chose to proclaim as Jesus was going up to the temple. Save us, we pray, O Lord. Give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, many times what we want as the people of God is to be blessed, to be encouraged, to celebrate the good times. And yet, if we would really look at this, what do we need? We need salvation. Save us. That is what the term means. It means not only to rescue and to deliver, but it also means to liberate. And so there's great hope for us as believers that Christ not only saves us from the sins that we did in the past, he saves us from the sins that we're doing in the present, and he will save us even of the sins that are coming before us. Save us, we pray. This should be something that we as the people of God often praise and praise the Lord for. You know, Psalm 113 and 118 through 118 were called the six Hallel Psalms. These were the psalms that they sang or chanted back and forth. They knew them by heart. These praises would have been in their heart and mind. And as we consider what was going on that day, Matthew 21, verse 9, talks about that there were those who were going before them and that there were those going after them. And I don't know if you ever remember back in your high school days, you were in the bleachers and the cheerleaders said, we've got spirit. Yes, we do. Do you remember that? Some of you, that doesn't hardly happen anymore. But when I was growing up, the stands would be full of people, both our side and their side. The cheerleaders would go, we've got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. And some of you remember the how about you? And so it flipped to their side and they would say the things. And so this is the picture that you actually have in this text. It would be fun if we just said, this group over here is going to say, save us, we pray, O Lord. And this side would say, give us success. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But this is what was going on. The Psalms were a sign of blessing. You know, many times we think in regard to our Christian life that Christianity is a hardship. But you know, when we live the way that God intends us to live, really there is an abundance of life that we should experience. John, in John 10, two chapters before, had said something very important where Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and life to the full. I would like you to understand that on Palm Sunday, my desire for you is to receive the blessings of God, experience the praise that we ought to have. Recall these psalms as you consider what God was doing on this great day as Jesus was marching up to Jerusalem, according to the people of this world, to become king, according to Jesus, to save us from our sins. Number three, the palms, were a sign of a king. The text says, who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel? You know, in many ways, this was a sign of allegiance to follow Jesus Christ. Who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel? Mark and Luke both record that not only did they throw down palm branches in front of Jesus, they took their coats and they threw them down. You know, somewhere in romantic chivalry is the idea that the man would throw down his coat for his wife or the person he's dating. I've actually never seen that ever done. I don't know if any of you have ever tried it. We don't do it here in Washington in particular because if you throw your coat down, it'll be totally ruined by all the water, and it really wouldn't do any good anyway. But it was a symbol of endearment. It was a symbol of allegiance. It was a symbol that we believe this. And so Jesus is progressing, and the psalms are being chanted. They knew all the words. I would challenge you, even in your life groups or at home, try to memorize one of these chapters and just chant it back and forth just for fun. We're going to do some choral reading, I hope, next Sunday for our Easter presentation. But it is a symbol that we believe in who Jesus Christ was. You know, when we consider these palm branches, I want to read Revelation 7 and verse 9. This is a scene from the throne room of God during the tribulation period. This is a scene, in essence, into the things that go on into heaven. Many times we think, what's going on in heaven? In the tribulation period, we have these direct words. This is what will happen as part of what's going on there. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. This mighty scene during the tribulation period that we believe is coming, we will know that thousands upon thousands, numbers that cannot be numbered, will literally be in heaven saying, praise the Lord, praise God. He is the one who has come to save us. Now, I find great encouragement in that word in chapter 7, verse 9, because it's all people, all tribes, and all languages. One of the psalms that they chanted was Psalms 117. Very short. If you want to memorize a whole book of the Bible, I recommend this one. There's two verses. You can say, I learned and memorized the whole book of the Bible today. Two verses. I praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that they were chanting this chapter as well. Praise the Lord. And they would say, all the nations of the world, extol the Lord. And they would say, all the peoples of the world. It says, for great is the steadfast love towards us and the faithfulness of love that endures forever. These are fun things that you can do even with your little kids as you get them to memorize and proclaim them. You know, I get you to do this all the time. When times are good, I say, be. See, we can do these things and help us remember. We do Palm Sunday to help our children remember what was happening on that day and to participate in it and say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So the sign of the branches. In 2 Kings 9 and verse 13, Jehu was made king, and they hastily threw their cloaks, their coats on the ground in front of the steps, and they said, Jehu is king. And so they were saying, Jesus is king. The second sign I want to refer to is the sign of the donkey. In verse 14 it says, and Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done for him. I want you to know that you could go over the events of what's happening on Palm Sunday and not get it. Not get it. And so one of the things I'm trying to do is the sign of the branches was to get you to celebrate the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ. The sign of the donkey is a sign that Jesus was king. Let's just dig into that a little more. The text says, and Jesus found a donkey. You know, he's on his way. How could he find a donkey? Well, it proves one of the things about who Jesus was. He was more than a man. He was God living among us. And so we know that the young donkey was already known by Jesus, and Jesus told the two disciples that went, go find that donkey, and I will sit on it. And the text says here in John, and sat on it just as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming. As it is written. You know, one of the things that ought to be a sign for you that you can hold on to is to understand how many prophecies of Jesus Christ there are and how many of them in the Old Testament declare this is who he was. There's no way to fake this particular idea. There just happened to be a young donkey colt who had never been written, and Jesus knew exactly where it was. And oh yeah, about 500 years earlier, Zechariah the prophet told this is the way it's going to be, just as it is written. You know, I want you to note how many times the disciples throughout the Gospels report as it is written, over and over and over again. I want you to remember the two men on the road to Emmaus where Jesus came and showed them from all the prophets. And didn't they say, our hearts burned within us as he explained these things? We need to understand that our faith is not a blind faith. It's not a faith that comes without reason. In fact, it is a faith that is secured by the prophetic word of God. There are so many prophecies in regarding to Jesus Christ, that it would take a lifetime to explore them. For unto us a child is given, for unto us a son is given, from Isaiah chapter 9. And the government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. And so, the second thing I'd like to point out is he was a humble king. This is a sign of his humility, sitting on a donkey. You know, we don't see this in the in John's proclaiming of the gospel here. John leaves this detail out, and so I want to read it from Zechariah 9 and verse 9, because I want you to see it. Sometimes the signs are there, but we don't dig far enough or deep enough to see what they mean. In Zechariah 9, 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey." The humility of Christ is something that we must comprehend. Because if we declare Jesus as king, what are we talking about? How does that impact us as a church? What are we supposed to think about in regard to that? Well, we need to consider the humility of Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, it is reported to us that Jesus humbled himself even to the point of death with the Father to give his life as a ransom for us, that his death on the cross would pay for our sins. And so when he came to Jerusalem, he knew that he was coming there humbly to be obedient to the Father, to give his life as a sacrifice for many. Humble, poor, afflicted, wretch, needy, weak. You know, many of us do not want to follow a Jesus that is like this. We'd rather follow a conquering king. We'd rather see a Jesus that takes over all of the countries of the world. And I will tell you that Zechariah 9 and verse 10 says that's exactly what he is going to do, that he's going to speak peace to all the nations. It says his rule shall be from sea to sea, from river to river. I still believe that Jesus is coming again and will establish his earthly kingdom that we might celebrate in it. But for now, Jesus is presented to us as a humble, sacrificing king. He will be a glorified king. Look at the text where it says, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered. You know, it's called latent learning, to receive after the fact, to be told something, and you're meditating upon these things, and then your eyes are open. Oh, that's what that text meant. And so we study it. We understand that these things are written about Jesus to declare his purposes on earth, to bless the earth through salvation, to give himself humbly as a ransom for the sins of this world. But he will be a glorified king. The text says that these things have been written about him and had been done to him. One of the Hillel Psalms is Psalms 113. And there are three verses that I'd like to read from that psalm. It says, "Praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised." Jesus came humbly. He came as a king, but he came as a king to sacrifice himself for sins. And this is something we ought to praise God for. In your prayer life, I'd like you to be encouraged to pray for the salvation that Jesus has given you personally and unto you because you believed in that great gospel, Jesus Christ. Praise should come from your mouth at all times, thinking about what God has done for us. You know, it is very easy to kind of stray to the north or the south. It's very easy to walk away from the things of God. But if we will continually praise him, it is much harder as we remember what he has done for us, what he has sacrificed for us, and what he has been told by us. The last sign that I would like to talk about is the sign of Lazarus and the sign of the resurrection. In verse 17, it says this, "The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. And the reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign." That's the focus that I've been trying to direct your attention to. They had done this sign so that the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing? Look, the whole world has gone after him." The sign of Lazarus. You know, the large group that was with him was there and heard Jesus. They heard Jesus say to a tomb where Lazarus laid that it had already been 3 days. That the testimony of the people there says, "Don't roll the stone away. He stinks. We had a decay. He was dead. He was all dead." And we need to understand that the group of people that was with Jesus there around Lazarus and around Lazarus' death heard Jesus' words, come forth, come forth. And again, I want us to remember the trumpet sound that we've been looking at in the book of Thessalonians, where the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will raise first. And he's going to say to all of us, come forth. What a great day that will be when we hear the words of Jesus, come, come, come forth. It's remarkable that this sign was done. And so many people were looking to see what would happen next. They had heard he had done the sign. And so there were those that were with Jesus coming up the mount to the temple. There were those who were coming down from Jerusalem. You know, the text says it was a large crowd. And many times we see these movies and we see half a dozen people kind of walking around the hillside. But historians declare that there was probably over 3 million people in town. Now that triples what the Seahawks had, right? This was huge. You can imagine the roar of the crowd when they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. It would have been a marvelous time. But the reason that they were all out there was they had been given a sign. That this group said, hey, I saw it. I was there. I heard it. I actually warned Jesus not to roll back the stone. You know, in the text, we need to consider this. What did they do? They witnessed about these things. To bear witness, to be a martyr is the actual Greek term there. I want you to see that it's what it's called, the imperfect active indicative. It's something that we as the people of God should continue to engage in, and they, in an imperfect manner, meaning an unfinished manner, that they continue to do these things over and over and over. I was there, I saw it. I was there, I saw it. As they interacted with the crowd that was coming down from Jerusalem, they witnessed. I saw it. It was there. I saw Jesus. I saw what he did. You know, I would ask you this question. Has God so moved you in your heart that you would be someone who would declare, this is what Jesus did. I believe in the resurrection, the first fruits of righteousness. To bear witness. And so the witness of the eyewitnesses, they were there. You know, sometimes we fail really to recognize what is declared in the New Testament in regard to these things. The second group of people is the witness to the resurrection. The text said the reason why the crowd went to him was that they had heard he had done this sign. You know, the testimony of Jesus himself to the people of Israel is that a wicked generation demands a sign. And in many ways, we're putting on our fleeces, we're putting out our hocus pocus, we're putting out our prayers. We're all looking for God to give us another sign. My intent would be for you to go to the signs that have already been declared. Because we know that these things will decrease, but what remains is faith, hope, and love. These are the building blocks of the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't think many times we understand what a sign is. We talk about little miracles. Well, the very nature of a miracle is it is big, it is out of the ordinary, it is unique, it is something that causes a sign. The word sign literally means to be able to see it or visualize it or perceive it, to get this from what I saw. In Psalms 135, verse 9, it says, Who in your midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants? You know, I think sometimes what we're looking for is for God to send frogs or God to send, you know, big things that we would then say, oh, of course I get it. It is hard for us to remain in faith because we have not seen. And that is exactly what Jesus has said in the upper room after his resurrection. He says, blessed are you because you've seen. But what does he say? More blessed are those who believe who have not seen. And so we, as the people of God, understand that in his scriptures, he has recorded many signs and wonders. You remember what the Apostle Paul said when he said, you know, I have not failed to show signs, wonders, and miracles, the acts of the apostles. These were things that were common to the early church. The witnesses continued to witness. Those who had seen the resurrection of Jesus Christ, about 500 of them continued to witness. The testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ did not only go out with a verbal witness, but it came across with power and authority and signs and wonders and miracles. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4. While God, speaking about the gospel, also bore witnesses by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. We need to understand this great event, this celebratory event, had so much behind it in terms of what it meant. And they continued to declare it until the end of their lifetime. The gospel is not a leap of faith. It's a leap of reason. It's a step of conviction. It's a heart that believes the signs that were given. There's one last sign or one last witness, and it's the witness of the opposition. Those who were in power on the day, the text says, so the Pharisees said to one another, you see, we are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after them. In fact, we understand back in chapter 11, verse 47, that Jesus did so many miracles, the Pharisees couldn't deny it. They knew he did these miracles. They had seen him do these miracles. They understood the people had seen them, and yet what did they want? They wanted their earthly kingdom. They wanted their government. They wanted, in essence, peace in their lifetime, and they wanted supremacy among all things. And so what were they willing to do? They were willing to give away the grace of God for the governments of men. And so they made plots not only to kill Jesus, but to kill Lazarus. And so I want you to see that through this text are many signs, the signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ. First, the sign of the Psalms. And I would get you and ask you to give songs of praise for the grace that God has given us in salvation. That we be remindful of the church that this is what we're supposed to do. This is what we're supposed to engage in. Secondly, the sign of the donkey, the humility of Christ, the sacrifice that he had to make. Why did Jesus have to die? When I do a baptismal interview for those who would be baptized, I ask that question, why did Jesus have to die? And the answer is because he paid the penalty for my sin. Sign of the donkey, he was a coming king, and he will, according to the promises of God, come again, take us to be with him, and we will be forever with him. And the sign of Lazarus. You know, ultimately, Easter is about the resurrection. I think in many ways, Palm Sunday is about the doubt, the worry, the what if. I think for we as the people of God, what comes next? We can easily be discouraged. We can easily be left behind. We can easily wander away from the things of God. And God would ask you to look at what happened on this Palm Sunday and see, he would say, let me one more time show you, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. God's people said, God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this text today that speaks to us, that you came to us with many signs and wonders and miracles, that you called Lazarus out of the grave and you said, come forth. And so, God, we desire to come forth. We desire to be loose from this body, to have that eternal glorified body that I might be with you, that we might be with you, and that we could give you glory in all things. God, tune our focus to the things of God rather than the things of earth. God, tune our focus to the gospel of Jesus Christ rather than the governments of this earth. God, tune our hearts towards righteousness that we might receive the blessings of God. I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.